Arriving at school, I carried a lunch bucket, as all of us did. The lunch bucket I had was a lard pail, 5-pound lard pail. My mother cleaned it out. When we arrive at school, and let's say this is August or September of the fall, put our lunch bucket on the shelf in the entryway to the school, and then promptly at 9 o'clock, we would all assemble around the flagpole, because we would lift the flag up the pole. An eighth grader had that duty. And I need to take some time in a bit and talk about duties, because there was a progression of duties. You started out in first grade with cleaning erasers. Nobody remembers how you do that. You take two erasers and you pound them together, and big cloud of dust, you sneeze, and you have all kinds of problems, and that is first grader's job. And then you graduated. By the time you were in second, third grade, you had graduated to sweeping out the outhouses, quite a mid-management kind of proposition that you were required to do, and you felt pretty good about it, because no longer did you have to suffer the dust of the erasers. And then about fourth grade, third grade, you carried in wood. And that's another very important duty. The teacher had you believing that each one of those duties, as you progressed up the ladder, was more significant and important. And it was true. And you carried in water in the same way. And so we had all these duties. But by the time you got to eighth grade, your duty, highest level duty of all, you tried to work hard to get to that point with putting up the flag and taking it down in the afternoon. And so we're now all gathered around the flag pole, little eighth grader, big smile on her face, runs the flag up the pole, and we say the Pledge of Allegiance. We do that every morning. Now, if she had allowed the flag to touch the ground at any point in that whole experience, back to erasers. We all file into the schoolroom. We're quiet. We've learned how to be quiet. Bring the first graders up front, and they would recite, was the word used. And we would work our way through all of the classes. I want to say a word about the teachers, because I gained a lot from these teachers. A different one every year. I don't know why they came and went, except some of them got married. Early 1900s, we started what are called normal schools, two-year schools for instruction in country school teaching. So let's say they graduated from high school when they were 17, well, they were 18, 19, when they're out there teaching. The teachers tended to live with the farmers in the community. Sometimes they would go from farm to farm in the early days. In my experience, they tended to live with McKinley Jinks, who lived to less than a quarter mile from the school, and she walked to school, of course, she didn't have a car, and walked through the woods from Mac Jinx's place to the school, arriving before the students, generally at 7:30, 8 o'clock, and the first thing she would have to do would be to start the fire in the stove. The teachers were the janitors, interestingly enough. They enlisted the students to help with the janitorial work, of course, but they were responsible for starting the fire the first thing in the morning. And it was 35 below zero outside. My gosh, the school was just deathly cold. She'd get the fire going, hoping by 9 o'clock it would be somewhat warm so that we could learn what needed to be learned that day. She also was in charge of teaching us the games that we played outside. She generally umpired the softball games. So now she's the janitor and the recreation director, and of course in charge of teaching all of us. If you fall down and skin your knee, she was the school nurse, would find some tape and mercuric chrome. Nobody knows what that is anymore. But the teacher was the glue, the key that kept it all together. They were remarkable people. Think about this. They had to know first grade material, eighth grade material. They led spelling bees. They introduced us to the literature, if we could call it that, on the bookshelves. Taught us how to read, taught us how to do long division. And then geography, we had really a pretty decent geography experience. We had history, we studied Wisconsin history. One of the interesting things about my school, when I started, some of the kids could barely speak English. Those from Polish families, the English was their second language. They didn't know that. The Norwegian kids, some of them came, they couldn't speak hardly a word of English. They spoke Norwegian, I know. The German kids, what do you do as a teacher? My gosh, you can't understand the kid. They survived all of that. There was tremendous respect for the teacher. Whatever she said was law. Whether it was right or wrong, we did it. And why? Because if we disobeyed the teacher, generally speaking, before we got home, our parents knew, and we caught holy whatever for disobeying. That's the connection the community provided in the support from the teacher. Now, it was not, I wouldn't, fear is you'd say, well, you were afraid of the teacher. No, that was not it. We're not afraid of the teacher. We were respectful of the teacher. And it was not a dour, everybody was sad, looking at their feet. No, at appropriate times, we hooted and laughed, and of course, why wouldn't we? Just as today, some, we call them slow learners, they just had difficulty learning. And there weren't any special teachers to work with them. There was this one teacher. But if she was wise, and they were, every one of them that I knew, she would assign this little guy or gal who was having trouble reading. Say I was in seventh grade. She'd say, Jerry, would you spend a little time with Mabel? And then I would sit down with Mabel, and I would say, now read this line to me. And she would stumble along. And I'd say, now this is how I would read it. That really works. Little Mabel, we played softball together. I mean, every kid knew each other very well, knew the families, and knew their dogs and horses and the whole smear. So little Mabel is learning how to read. Doing that, by the time I was in eighth grade, I said, I think I want to be a teacher. Never got over it. I taught for 37 years. As much as we liked the schoolroom, to tell you the truth, we couldn't wait to get out of the place. And so recess and lunchtime, we were outside. For my two brothers and me, my mother always packed our lunch, and it would usually be a jelly sandwich and maybe a cookie and something else. Some of the kids came to school with sandwiches with lard spread on a piece of bread. That was their lunch. Because one of the things we learned without realizing we were learning was that not everybody has similar circumstances. Some of us are a lot poorer than the others. None of us had much, but some of these kids had nothing. So what we would do, have one of my cookies, have one of my cookies. Here's a sandwich that I don't need. That was lunch. And it's part of the community that I think is so important that we were learning about in school. Those who needed something, we should help them. You wouldn't let a little kid sit off the side and eat a large sandwich when you're chomping on a big old jelly sandwich and homemade chocolate cookie. There were a couple of families like that. They just had nothing. Those lessons, not in books, were so important in those country schools. I've never forgotten them.